morning. Welcome to the KRFY Morning Show for this rather smoky morning of Wednesday, August 9th. It is. I'm Chris Besser. I'm your host today. I'm in the studio today with my co-host,
Susie Prez.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. This is a little bit odd. I'm usually over there and you're over here. So yes, we've switched roles a little bit.
I'm running the soundboard this morning.
Yeah, this is fun. I just have to be here.
Hopefully our listeners will be forgiving of all the buttons that I click incorrectly.
Oh, you'll do fine. I'm sure of it.
And we have a great morning show for our listeners today. The subject is housing in our community, which is a pretty big subject right now. And we have with us Chris Bassett. He's the executive director of the Bonner Community Housing Agency. Chris, hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot to talk about because housing is indeed a big subject right now.
Absolutely.
And a big problem in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that, what's happening in the weather, Susie?
Well, I have one question. On the National Weather Service site, they say smoke and then they say haze. So what's the difference? It's just smoky out there.
It's pretty equivalent, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they changed because for a long time it was just smoke, and now it's smoke and haze.
I think maybe the guy that writes the report gets tired of using the same word.
Yeah.
But I think haze is less than smoke.
Okay, well, we'll go with that.
We'll take a little bit of haze instead of smoke.
Yeah. Okay, currently the temperature is 57 degrees. It feels a little warmer, but the high today of 91 and low tonight 57. Widespread haze, widespread smoke, sunny. And northwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour, hopefully blowing a little bit of the smoke out of here. I guess I heard at the end of the week we might get some relief.
That's what I've seen as well, is that beginning about Sunday, there's a 20-30% chance we'll start getting some rain. However, they're also predicting thunder showers, which could be very scary for us with the woods being so dry. Some of the other things going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 5:31 a.m. It sets at 8:11 p.m. We still are having those long days of summer. The up in the sky, the last quarter moon was last night. I don't know if you've been catching the moon, but it's both the moon and the sun are just red as heck from all the smoke we're getting. It's kind of dramatic, actually. Then something really big starts happening actually, it's starting to happen right now. It's the time of year when we get into the Persoid meteor showers, and we're getting that already, but they peak on about Saturday. And unfortunately, with all the smoke we have in the sky, and there's also going to be some moonlight, it's probably going to be not that great of viewing this year, but who knows? Maybe
so
we'll
be
get
it.
A little bit of clearing.
You know, I was down in Spokane yesterday, and it's just as bad there. It's all over, and in Missoula, too.
Yeah, and all the way, actually, to Seattle. The entire Northwest has been inundated with this smoke, mostly from fires in Canada. But I did want to mention there are currently 14 active fires in Idaho. There's quite a number of active fires in eastern Washington as well. So it's definitely high season for fires. The air quality report is moderate to unhealthy through Thursday due to these wildfire smoke impacts. So actually, it's probably best not to do a lot of big activity where you're breathing a lot outside right now if you want to take care of your body. And other things going on around town. It is the festival at Sandpoint week right now. Tonight, there's a really amazing concert.
Well, let me tell you about it.
Yeah.
It's the 7B Stars, and this is really big, you guys. We have people coming in from all over the place and local. The Shook Twins will be here with John Craigie, and then our local people, Bridges Home, Justin Landis, neighbor John Kelly, Harold's IGA, Justin Landtrip, Truck Mills, Beth Peterson, Ken McGinnis, Dennis and Carol Coates, and the list goes on. Mike Wagner and John Stoll, and then the Charlie Packard Band.
The Charlie Packard, because this is actually in memory of Charlie Packard, who passed away just in the last year.
It's a celebration of his amazing life. Over 500 songs. Last week we had Karen Bauer on and talked about all his prolific songwriting and what he gave, not only in the songs that he wrote and shared, but in mentoring young musicians.
Yeah.
For a long time. So everyone's coming back to say thank you, Charlie, and also raising funds for a scholarship.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah,
and he was a marrying man. There's a lot of people around here who got married by Charlie Packard.
Oh, okay.
And so, and the festival continues. That's kind of like a bonus concert this year. Festival doesn't usually have a concert on Wednesdays. Again, that is tonight, and that's at starts at 7 p.m. It's at the regular festival fairgrounds, festival grounds there at Memorial Field. So that's a great one to go to. Also on August 10th, that's tomorrow, it's the Head and the Heart. On Friday, it's Iration and the Wailers. On Saturday, it's George Thorogood. And then on Sunday, it's the Symphony Finale, as they have every year.
And I just wanted to say a shout out to Christine Kester. She'll be playing her awesome saxophone for the national anthem at the George Thorogood concert on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
7:15. Yeah. And she's been practicing.
You know, we get a different local every night of the festival series doing the national anthem, and they're really great, actually.
Really?
Good music on us.
I love it. Yeah.
It's very moving. Yeah. No matter what, you feel moved. Just and their passion and how they bring it. I guess, so.
And there's so much going on this week. The Bonner County Fair is happening. The POAC Arts and Crafts Fair is happening. There's Aftival concerts at the Hive. There's a Wings Over Sandpoint fly-in on Saturday. There's a ton of stuff going on in our town this weekend, this whole week. So check that out on our website. We have a complete calendar with all the details, krfy.org, or on the calendars on sandpointonline.com.
And if you ever get something, or our listeners ever have something they want to have read on KRFY, just send it to Sandpoint Online, because that's where we get our community calendar.
That's where we scrape a community calendar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it appears automatically onto the KRFY.org website. So, and with that, let's get to today's topic. Again, we have with us Chris Bassett. He's the executive director of the Bonner Community Housing Agency. And the mission, I guess, of the BCHA is developing housing for a living wage household.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. We've been around since 2007. We kind of started off at a housing summit up at Schweitzer. A group out of Spokane really began helping us along with Idaho Housing. And it was at the height of this boom that was happening, right? From 04, 05, 06, it just started really ramping up. You saw prices really just start to skyrocket. And then everybody realized—
Real estate went crazy during that
period of time. It went crazy. And so everybody realized that if you wanted to work here and live here, something needed to shift. And so we had this housing summit up at Schweitzer. I was in the mortgage industry at the time. And so a bunch of groups got together, and Bonner Community Housing Agency was birthed out of that big housing summit.
Because the problem that was created is that people that work here and live in this local economy were getting priced out of housing.
Well, and the big concern that BCHA first started to deal with was, how do we help employers keep employees? Because they were, like, you look at the school district, just for one example, unable to pay high enough wages to stay here. And so what happens is they don't get the best people. And they're like, how do we keep people when they can't afford rent here and all their other living expenses? So we looked at some employer-assisted housing options originally, because employers were losing employees because they were just getting priced out. They just couldn't afford to pay them how much they needed to get paid to live here. So in that process, that was the first thing that we really looked at. And so we started looking at community land trusts. I actually started on the board in 2009 with BCHA. And really, there was a small group of human resource people from, say, Lignetics, Lighthouse, Bonner General Hospital, the city of Sandpoint, the school district, that all really and some small business owners that really started this thing off. It was ran by Stephen Drinkard for a number of years. And you know, Stephen's passionate. He has a real heart for not only the environment, for the people that live here. And so he just poured himself into it. And it was, he really ran this thing for many years. I came on the board in 2009 and we started looking at what are the things on the ground that we can be doing, because we kept bumping into obstacles and stuff like that.
So you were looking for options other than commuting from another community.
Right. Well, you look at the development of places like Sun Valley. You look at different resort towns in Idaho, McCall, different places where they bus people in because there's no way for anybody to live there.
They can't afford to live in the place where they work.
Because that's right.
The housing costs so much. Well, and we do see that here, right? We get people a lot of people that live in Bonner's Ferry and drive, or Priest River and drive into Sand Point.
Or Coeur d'Alene.
Even Coeur d'Alene. Yep.
Even Spokane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there yesterday talking with some people, and they said that for years they lived in Spokane and commuted to Sand Point. Now they live in Spokane and work in Spokane. But,
right.
Their housing situation is similar to ours now.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting when you talk about the commute issue. One thing that really sets Sandpoint apart is its manufacturing. We have actually some manufacturing industry here, which sets us apart from like a McCall or some of these other places where they don't have a Lighthouse Foods. They don't have Quest Aircraft or Biomedical Innovations, formerly Leadlock. They don't have some of these larger businesses that employ large amounts of people. They may have, it's all primarily become service-based instead of the manufacturing base. So the manufacturing base that we have here has actually helped keep the prices further down than if we didn't have those businesses here. It's helped kind of keep a little bit of balance, check and balance here, because it's not a primarily retirement community still. Mm-hmm. It's primarily people live here, and then there's a lot of second and third homes. And I don't know the ratios of percentages on what that looks like, but yeah, it's a lot.
We do have a much more of a mix than a Sun Valley does, which is almost exclusively tourism and mm-hmm. recreation. We do have some kind of home-based manufacturing, as you're saying, which gives us, I think, a lot more texture as a community.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just on vacation. I was in Jackson, Wyoming, which is a huge resort town. And I was talking to a local rancher there who's lived there almost his entire life. And one of the things he said is it's in Jackson now. It's not about the quality or what it is. People are interested in how much they pay for stuff. So he sold 20 acres that he had appraised at $60,000. And he asked what the guy was wanting to buy. He says, well, what are you willing to pay? Well, I'll pay $150,000 an acre. I mean, he's like, okay, no. I'll take that. Right. You know, because it was more about how much people spend. And there's nobody that can live in that arena.
Yeah. And it's certainly not healthy for the community when the prices get driven that high.
Right.
It creates a, you know, a kind of a social class within the community that is simply unaffordable.
That's right.
That people with living wage jobs can't get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
nothing left that you can buy and build a home on because the price, you're outpriced.
Well, and you also have the increase in construction costs, the increase in land costs, because it's the land values that are constantly on the increase. And so there's a lot of obstacles to what we would call affordable housing. We don't use the word affordable housing in our mission statement because it's really a relative term, right? Affordable housing is relative to how much money you have,
exactly.
What's affordable for you. So it can get kind of confusing for some people. People who are wealthy will like, that's not that's really affordable. And for people who don't have a lot of money, it's not. Mm-hmm. So we try to stay away from using the word affordable housing, but for the sake of conversation, it's easy term to use. And the way that the government kind of defines affordable housing is according to household size and median income. So anyone who makes less than say 80% of the area median income and is able to find housing in what they can afford under that range income wise. Generally 30%, 30 to 33% of whatever their income is considered affordable housing. And I don't know hardly anybody who's only paying 30 to 33% of their income that lives and works here. It's almost always 40 to 50% is on housing here.
Is another word available housing for all? A different way of saying that without saying affordable?
Well, you know, it's there's several different types of housing. So available is an interesting term because you have rental housing, and then you have, say, people who are on disability, who have very limited or Social Security income, that may not have available housing because there's not enough government subsidy or landlords willing to work with a government subsidy, so they don't have a place to live. So there's an availability issue. And then there's also people who want to live here and buy here that just can't afford to get in the market without some serious help right now. So I think there's a lot of construction happening. We're seeing a lot of construction going on. We're seeing right now, I just got a message from one of my board members that said, you know, hey, I can't make our board meeting and because I'm too busy with real estate right now. It's so busy. So we've had a huge uptick in sales lately.
Yeah, we're ramping back up to where we were in 2007.
Getting basically. Getting there.
Is there like an inventory of housing that is available to people that you can monitor to say, oh, you know, we can see that we have a problem or we are going to have more housing that's available?
My initial response would be no. We don't have a way to really monitor other than what a real estate agent would have access to on the multiple listing service to see what's available at what price points. Part of our goal is to purchase houses, provide some assistance for people to buy them who need to afford them. So we primarily develop homes for resale to people who live and work here, who obviously make less than 80% of the area median income. So for a family of four, you know, we're looking at trying to get people in that make less than $44,000 a year, you know, into a house. And if they have a car payment or a couple credit cards, they may not be able to afford a home in our market right now. So we've got some big challenges.
Mm-hmm. Besides buying up a current, are you working at all with building affordable housing that is available?
Yeah, you know, we have, during the last 10 years, things have really ebbed and flowed. So we had a season where, when we first started off, we worked on building. So we did some new construction. We built four homes, got four families into those homes.
Now to clarify, there's a if your income level qualifies you, there's a type of assistance here.
Yeah. Well, let me break down the program in the sense of what our primary program right now is, which is it's a federal program called HOME. HOME is a loan program where we take a loan out from our local jurisdiction, which is Idaho Housing and Finance Association, IHFA. And we get awarded a loan for, our last one was $785,000 to purchase and renovate and rehab and sell four homes. So we jump in the market, we're buying up properties. We completely clear all inspection issues, make sure everything's repaired, ready to go. And then we resell that home. But when we resell the home, it has to go to a qualified buyer, which means they make less than 80% of the area median income and they qualify for a mortgage. So however much mortgage they qualify for, we can help with up to an additional 20% down payment, up to say $40,000. So we're able to help people get into homes. We have one home right now that I think is for sale for $163,000. Well, somebody who comes in, we give them up to 20%. Well, that's just roughly over $32,000 that we can provide them in a subsidy plus closing costs. So they come in with $500 and we're going to give them 20% down, pay their closing costs, and get them in a fully renovated home.
So what would their mortgage be on something like that?
Right. So that mortgage would probably be between $700 and $800 a month.
Mm-hmm. And that includes insurance and taxes.
Yeah, taxes mm-hmm. and insurance. Yeah.
So according mm-hmm. to their income, they could meet that monthly cost.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're always on the hunt for, you know, a houses that we can purchase. We are required to do everything post 1978 because of lead-based paint and asbestos laws. We don't have enough capacity to remediate lead-based paint issues in a home, because basically you have to, being a federal program, you have to gut the thing and completely remove all potential lead-based paint and then redo the whole thing. And that's usually a minimum $25,000 to remediate lead-based paint. It's just too much for us to do. So we look at stuff past 1978, and the inventory's just not, you know, it's hard to find. So we're primarily looking in Priest River and Bonner's Ferry and other places, other also community, anywhere in the county, between Bonner and Boundary County, we can buy homes and renovate those. But as far as new construction, there was a season where we did new construction and then the inventories were so full because of the decline in housing. And
they came along after 2008, 2009.
Yeah, they just dropped. So many foreclosures, so many different issues that people are having just to keep the home that they had. So we did not do any new construction, but it is definitely on the table right now for us to find land that's affordable. And when we say accessible, it has to already have all the hookups for, you know, it's got to be on a street. It's got to have, you know, power and sewer and water and all that kind of stuff ready to build. But we're looking for lots right now that we may be able to put a project together to build. It's a little more difficult to build in the city of Sandpoint just because the you know, new user facility fees, impact fees, hookups, building permits, all this stuff is far more expensive than
in
say
county.
Kootenai or Ponderay yeah. mm-hmm. or you know, in different places mm-hmm. around. So it's a little harder to do within the city, but we can build anywhere in the county or, you know, anywhere around that we want to. So we're looking at it right now as far as new construction.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie as hosts. And we're speaking this morning with Chris Bassett. He's executive director of the Bonner Community Housing Agency. Chris, I want to get this out there a couple of times.
Yeah.
During the course of the show, how do people get in touch with you if they're hearing stuff that is of interest?
You know, bonnerhousing.org. So, you know, just as it sounds, Bonner for Bonner County, housing.org. That is, we have actually an intake form if you're interested in the program. We also provide home buyer education. We do a bunch of different services in the community to help with the housing issue. So, but bonnerhousing.org, and then our phone number at our office, we're in 3 days a week. I have a part-time administrative staff, and that's 208-263-5720.
Okay. This is all geared towards, as you say, developing housing for a living wage household. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about low income folks?
Yeah. So low income people need a different type of assistance than home ownership. Generally, if that we get the right house, so like we've got a house up in Bonner's Ferry that's for sale for a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom. It is, it does not have a garage, but it's selling for $90,000, fully renovated, looks great. It's right next to some railroad tracks. So it's a little bit of a give and take on the price. It appraises well over about $110,000. But we've got to reduce the price just because of its location. It makes it a little more difficult. So we have a house for sale for $90,000. So somebody who can afford a $72,000 mortgage, which is literally like $400 a month, could buy that home and have their own property, their own home to live in, where they can have their pets, do whatever they want to do, put up a fence, make a garden, do, you know, have all the benefits of home ownership. So there are opportunities for people who are extremely lower income to buy. They're rare, but they are available. One of the things that is required really for people who have extremely low income or low income, and that's anything like 25% of the area median income or 30% or less, that usually requires some subsidy for rent because the rents here are extremely high as well and continuing to climb just because the demand is there and people can, people who are landlords are able to get a lot more money for their properties right now because the market's going up and all the prices are increasing right now. There's several types of assistance available in rental housing, primarily as a Section 8 voucher program. But then there's some market-based rents that may be available as well.
And who would they contact for that? Because I was at the Sandpoint Forum, and I just was looking through, and several times I saw people say, I can only afford this much rent. I can't find anything. $600 will only get you a room. We have four kids. What can I do? And yeah. I kind of sent them over to you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Where do they really go?
So what we do is all of the voucher programs are kind of managed through Idaho Housing. And there's a rental assistance program through IHFA. And the gal who runs that for the northern region is in Coeur d'Alene. And her information is actually at bonnerhousing.org. If you want rental assistance, that information's there.
On to your get website.
That. Yeah. Okay. And you can also look at idahousing.org. Ida Housing is going to give you an opportunity to look and see what's maybe available for either Section 8 or market-based rent, in the region. It's interesting because we would think like Section 8 vouchers and that kind of stuff would be government controlled. It's not. It's landlord controlled. So the landlord has to come into agreement with for 20, it used to be 20. It's now 30-year agreement with HUD that they're going to provide Section 8 housing. So it's a major commitment from a landlord that they're going to provide Section 8 housing. And with that, they will, whoever is in that unit will pay a certain percentage of whatever their income is. And the rest of the rent up to a certain point is matched through a voucher program, so the Section 8 voucher program. Bill Brown Rentals has a lot of those, which are, and some of them are being managed through a state program. Some of them are being managed by Bill Brown. So it's kind of you're not quite sure what you're going to get. And usually there's a long waiting list for those, especially in this area, because there's not many.
So those folks build with that in mind, that they will be providing that kind of assistance.
Yeah.
Over the long term.
So when you see new apartment complexes come up, most in order to make it to make the most financial sense for a builder building apartments, they usually use what's called a low income housing tax credit. When they do that, they actually get a tax credit by providing a portion of all of the units go to Section 8 or market based rents. That's what Milltown did, where they would have some people who market based rent, they didn't have to pay anything. Because they weren't making enough money to actually pay rent, or maybe they paid $100 or $150.
In Milltown, is that the new apartment complex that's on Boyer beside
Super One?
Super
Foods.
One.
Yeah, behind Super One. Yeah. And not the brand new one, okay. But the older one that was put up about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the senior housing out by the fairgrounds.
Yeah, Schweitzer Crossing.
Is that, that's home. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is the brand new apartments that went up beside Super One, is that in the same sort of program?
Yeah, it is. I believe that the builders are getting a tax credit program, so it's what's called mixed use. So they're going to have some units that are going to be available.
Mm-hmm. So that's not really the goal and the mission of the Bonner Community Housing Agency, but you do help people find that.
Yeah, we help referral. Really try to connect people with the resources that they need. Similar to the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, we partner with them a lot in trying to make sure people are getting what they need for housing. In fact, we're actually working right now to open up some Section 8 housing and become a Section 8 landlord here in the region. So we would buy smaller, maybe apartment complexes, maybe, you know, some duplexes, houses, things like that, that we could be able to do some Section 8 landlording here locally and trying to amass some inventory for people.
And I think we're going to take a little musical break here and give Chris a chance to
Well, what do you rest. Have queued up there,
Well, actually,
Chris Bessler?
I had to grab a song that goes with today's theme. And this is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House.
And then, makes sense.
Perfect.
And we'll be back in just about 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, with Chris Bassett, Executive Director of the Bonner Community Housing Agency. We actually have a lot more to talk about. So stay with us.
Place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
And that was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Our House, which is very timely for today's discussion because we are talking with Chris Bassett, Bonner Community Housing Agency Executive Director. Chris, thanks again for being here.
Yeah.
And you have other stuff going on. I know that you also staged some classes. Why don't you tell us about these classes that you put on?
Yeah, so what we do is what's called Finally Home. Finally Home is a home buyer course. It's not necessarily for first-time home buyers, but it covers everything that anybody would need to know about buying a house. We'll talk about personal finance, budget, credit, understanding that, how do you, what's kind of the legal role of a realtor and how do you interact with a realtor? What are the needs versus wants? Is it my time to buy? Should I continue to rent? All of those types of things. We walk somebody from step one to all the way to 150 in the mortgage process so they know what's coming. Most people, that's a big fear factor. You know, when they're especially buying a first home, they just don't know what to expect. And you know, if you've ever had to buy a mortgage, you felt like you were going to give blood and, you know, have to do DNA tests just to get your mortgage. And so it can be a little stressful. So we unpack all of that, including inspections and appraisals and title. How does title work and the escrow process? So we go through all of that in about 6 hours on a Saturday. We do those once a month. You can register for those right on the bonnerhousing.org. Website. We have one coming up on August 26th. Normally we don't do one in August, but because we have so much movement in the real estate market right now, if you're going to get a USDA loan, if you're going to get some FHA loans or any types of major subsidized loans, sometimes they require people to get some homebuyer education. So we provide that for Bonner and Boundary County both. We're the primary, we're the only one that does like an official state-approved housing education course.
Would you say, if you were going to give advice to someone that was thinking, besides come to our class, that becoming pre-qualified at a bank is the first step?
Absolutely.
Okay. So absolutely. You can do that anytime.
Anytime. Mm-hmm. Anytime. And you know, majority of the lenders that we have in our area are excellent. You know, there's mortgage people have about the same approval rating as Congress. So that's not very good, because the underwriting process is very frustrating for people. And we just prepare people ahead of time. Like, look, it's going to be frustrating. They're going to ask you for the same document 7 times and just know that that's coming, because underwriters are skittish. And if they even get a mild whiff that something might be off, they're going to ask for the same document again. And they're just, then it's way more regulated than it was in 07. So it actually requires way more to get a mortgage now. But it's always good to just find out what it is that you do qualify for. If you're not ready, or there's something on your credit, or you need more income, or you need to get rid of some debt or whatever, find out. You know, get a game plan so that if your goal is to buy a home, you can begin the process now. And if you don't have any goals financially, as we know, if you don't set some goals, you're not going to get there. You know, no matter how hard you try, if you don't have a goal, you're never going to get there. So just find out.
And that's what your Finally Home classes help people figure
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Boy. And people, when we get, you know, we take surveys. What was your favorite part of the class? Hands down, the budgeting and credit portion is the biggest thing, because we really unpack how to set financial goals. What are some safe ways to begin to build some savings and work towards buying a home?
You know, really, with the rent as high as it is right now and scarce,
yeah,
buying a home might be a viable and actually the perfect option. But seeing that it is an option,
yeah,
is pretty important, and that's what you provide.
Right, right. We had a young couple that came in, and they ended up taking the home buyer education course. They went out and got, and they just wanted to buy a home, but they didn't know where to start. So they came to the course, and they connected with a lender. Out of that, they realized that they could actually afford way more than they would ever want to pay for their mortgage. But then the goal was, okay, well, how do we find a home that we can afford? And within about 3 months, they were in a new home. Mm-hmm. You know, but they had been paying like $1,600 a month in rent, and they had no clue that they could afford a $180,000 home and reduce that overall payment to around $1,000. They had no clue.
So they are actually saving money.
They're saving a lot of money. Yeah. And owning their home. That's right.
And there's a huge benefits, and they will see that in your class, Finally Home.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have one coming up in August?
Yeah, August 26th, that Saturday. And it goes from 9 to 3. I do majority of the teaching, but we do have different people come in from insurance, realtors, title and escrow people from a local community that will teach kind of their section of the program, class.
So someone who's just inundated with high rent right now may find out that they could buy a home. Might take a while, but it's a process. How do they sign up for the class?
Yeah, bonnerhousing.org. You just go there and you can actually just click the link on Finally Home, and it takes you to the registration page. You fill out all of your information on that, and then we get a notification that you're signed up and show up.
Yeah. Now, the housing was a topic of a recent community forum.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
We hosted, we had been working with the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, and this is one of the highest needs that they get calls about is housing. And so we decided to host a community housing forum. We had a local realtor, a rental management company. We had an economist from the Department of Labor come in and speak, as well as I spoke a little bit, as well as a gentleman from NeighborWorks in Pocatello, the executive director there, because they do a lot on community outreach. And so we had a lot of community influencers at this housing forum, because we want to help partner with people who are in the housing community, whether it's city planners, county commissioners, looking at whether it's land use, looking at whether it's issues concerning, you know, how do we live here and work here, down all the way down to rentals. How do we make this work? And so we actually came up with, we set up working groups, and we had 6 working groups, and they all had one major item that they were going to work on that they picked on their own. And then coming out of that were some action items, and we're actually following up with all of those groups to see, hey, how's it going? Are we making progress towards solving this affordable housing issue? So it was a very well attended event. We had about 70 people at it. We will be doing another one in the spring of next year as we head into another, you know, here the housing market moves when the sun's shining. Mm-hmm. So, and when the snow melts. So, you know, we'll be doing another one in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean if you're local and you're still renting, but you'd like to move into ownership?
Yeah.
In winter's the time to start. And it would be probably the time to start now. Maybe attend this finally home workshop and then start the process because things may open up.
I will say if anybody's interesting and is even mildly interested in buying a home, find out now because we don't have any reason except for a potential major secondary recession. We don't have any other major reason to think that our housing market's going down. The economic numbers are strong. Employment's strong. All of the numbers that mean that housing is going to increase are there and they are solid. So the idea of waiting until winter probably actually is probably not going to be as effective as just finding out right away, because if the markets continue to climb, you'll be priced right out of the market. So if you're interested in buying, go see a lender right away.
Yep. The sooner the better.
Sooner the better.
Yeah. And get pre-qualified and find out what you can do.
Yeah. And if you're not pre-qualified, you'll know what hoops you got to jump through to get qualified.
You mentioned the Community Resource Center. I know there's some other groups that work on housing or that sort of thing. One of them's Habitat for Humanity.
That's right.
Yeah. And then there's for the homeless, the Bonner Homeless Transitions. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is there an interface between the BCHA and these types of groups?
So there's a little bit, just mainly in us being aware and putting information out. That's really the ability to help cross promote projects and things like that. That's about it, because Habitat serves a little bit different market than what we serve. And they have a self-help build program.
Mm. And they probably can only handle like one house a year.
I think they do one at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they have an amazing track record.
Amazing track record. And they're completely self-funded, which is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then with the homeless transitions, there is a huge need for emergency shelter. There's a huge need for transitional housing. I was really impressed at the housing forum, because when you looked at the different groups that were going, one of the groups decided to look at the transitional housing and emergency shelter issue. And two of our county commissioners were on that, and they were pulling up ideas out of the places I had no idea about, and they're putting ideas together and working on that to help try to create some solutions. So I was really glad to see some actual thought and movement towards solving some of those issues at the housing forum. It was great.
Is there a measure for how many actual homeless people we have here in the county?
I don't know what that is. Mm-mm.
I'm wondering about other communities. It sounds like we're very fortunate to have your organization, the BCHA, and all these other groups, such as the Human Habitat for Humanity, the Task Force for Homelessness, and things like that. But Coeur d'Alene, Bonner's Ferry, do they also have the same kind of issues, and do they have these kind of organizations?
Yeah, so you know, Coeur d'Alene has the North Idaho Housing Coalition, which is very similar to Bonner Community Housing Agency. We use a lot of the same funding, working with IHFA. They have done the acquisition rehab over the last, they've done like 85, 90 homes in the last, 10 years and have a huge inventory to pull from. So there's a lot more opportunity in Coeur d'Alene, and the prices are a lot less in Coeur d'Alene. So there's similar organizations. I think in most communities, housing is an issue, especially with homelessness. We're in a bit of a bubble because of our hard winters. We don't have the homeless population that anywhere south has at all, or if you're on the coast has, right? Because Portland and Seattle have tremendous homeless populations. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense because there's no way to afford to live there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Even if you've got a full-time job that's at $15 an hour, you can't afford to live there, so even at that.
So you might be in one of those tents on the side of the highway to work every day.
And still going to work every day, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there's HUD has a lot of HUD is one of the largest units of government as far as cash flow. You know, when they just did their the new HUD secretary just did an audit and found $500 billion in fraud and waste in HUD. And that was only in grant programs. So, you know, when you look at how could the money be used more effectively to meet some of these needs, I think one of the things that I appreciate about working with, say, IHFA and specifically this home program, they don't want to run it from Boise. They said, you know, we're going to open up a shop in Sandpoint, in Bonner and Boundary County, to look at these issues and to direct the funds at the local level. And I really like that because we actually know what our needs are here versus someone in Boise. I had this long conversation with our friends in Boise because we kept asking for more money. Like we, in Pocatello, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a 2-car garage is $135,000. And I said, we can't do that for $200,000 in the city of Sandpoint right now. And they're like, what? We don't understand. You know, like actually our realtor went down and showed them some numbers and we just had to constantly press them saying, because it's so far off their grid. And they were like, oh, wow. When they got it, they're like, okay, we're going to give you, because it used to be just 10% help with down payment. And they said, well, for you guys, we'll increase it to 20% mm-hmm. because we see that the need is so much bigger there.
Mm-hmm. So you're really advocating for our community.
Oh, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. kind of a big part of your job. And by having the lenders here, mm-hmm. you have more transparency and accountability.
Absolutely.
From waste and graft, whatever they call it.
Well, and you know what's amazing is every good, you know, whether it's a purchase of a home or working with a landlord, if you can establish good relationships, you build a healthy community. Mm-hmm. And that's been our goal, is to establish really healthy relationship with whether it's city, county, community resource center, whoever it is. We just want to have really good relationships so that when problems come up, when things happen, we're able to work with each other and meet these needs.
Yeah, it's very integrated. It's what community's all about.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Bassett with Bonner Community Housing Agency, we're going to run out of time here in a little bit. Anything else that you want to let people know?
You know, if anybody's buying a home and looking at whether or not they're able to see a lender. The other thing is if you have any questions, we're available at our office. We've got 4 people in our office. I've got right now 2 project coordinators, Rhonda Armbrust and Alyssa Landtrip. Our administrator, Denise Marley, does a great job of making sure people get to the places that they need to be. So if people have questions, call, right? 208-263-5720 or check us out online at bonnerhousing.org.
Mm-hmm. And I hear right now you have to dial the 208. So that's 208-263-5720.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, thanks again for coming in.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. This is awesome.
Yep. And you speak well. I can tell you've done some radio before.
I've done a little. Yep.
The voice.
We're going to take just a 2-minute break. This is Bridges Home. The song is Over the Waterfall. Bridges Home is one of the bands that's going to be playing tonight
at the
7B Stars concert that's happening at Memorial Field at 7 p.m. So catch this song, and we'll be back in just a moment. With a little bit more of the community calendar and what's going on in town. And that was Bridges Home, Over the Waterfall. Bridges Home will be playing tonight at the 7B Stars concert that's at Memorial Field starting at 7 o'clock. That's a great concert to catch. There's going to be a ton of local bands there. So, you know, can't emphasize too much how cool that's going to be.
Yep. It's for the whole family, too.
Yep, for the whole family. And the ticket prices are low compared to the big main stage acts that they get from around the country. So worth checking out. Susie, what else is going on? We have just a few minutes left.
Well, I just want to let people know that tomorrow, actually, on the morning show, we have Jim Healy and Jack Peterson. Their guest will be John Royan, host of the newest locally produced show here at KRFY, Jazz Over Sandpoint. And that plays every Sunday night at 8. It's really a cool show, so tune in and hear why John decided to do this show. Also on Friday, I'm going to be sitting down with Gene Girth and Sparrow Ivy from 350sandpoint.org. That will be at 8 o'clock, an extra Friday morning show kind of thing. And we're going to be talking about an upcoming event called Save Our Planets that 350 is sponsoring. And it's worth hearing about, so you can tune in on Friday at 8 to hear about that. And lots of other things going on. I think this Thursday there's a mobile market, getting food to where it is needed most. That's for low-income people. Second Harvest out of Spokane is bringing in a whole truck full of food. They'll be at the First Lutheran Church in Sandpoint on 526 South Olive on Thursday, August 10th from 10 to 12. So if you need extra food, and it's mostly fresh.
Oh, nice.
So they're bringing in a truck full of food.
Oh, that's very cool.
To help out.
And, of course, there's, again, a ton of things going on around town. The festival will continue tomorrow with The Head and the Heart is the big concert. On Friday, Iration and the Wailers are playing. On Saturday, it's George Thorogood. Have you ever heard George Thorogood, Susie?
Yes, of course.
I mean, he's kind of an icon in and of himself. And then on Sunday, it's the symphony finale, which is always really cool.
Fireworks.
And they have a wine tasting in advance of that. So that's our fairly excellent festival at Sandpoint.
Hey, Chris, do you know if the Friday night Wailers concert is a dance one?
I believe it is. I don't know that. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. I think if you tried to lay there on blankets when those guys are playing their
people would
their
be dancing
reggae
all around
music,
you.
Yeah,
right.
There'd be
okay.
people dancing around you. And again, there's a lot of other things going on. The Bonner County Fair's happening. Started actually yesterday, so that's going on right now through Saturday. There's bull riding and barrel racing champions. Facing off at the fairgrounds on Friday. It's Wings Over Sandpoint. His fly-in is on Saturday. And the, of course, can't miss the POAC Arts and Crafts Fair that's Saturday and Sunday at City Beach. It's a really packed week. So check our calendar out. And I think we're out of time.
Okay.
We're going to go out with a song by Charlie Packard. It's the 7B Stars concert tonight at Memorial Field, of course, is in memory or to celebrate Charlie Packard's life. He was a prolific musician here. And this is one of my favorite songs that he did. It's Old Gal.
Oh, yes. Okay. And we hope you have a beautiful day. Thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY.
Bye now.